Good morning. So this morning, omnipresence never leaves a soul. And again, I've been looking at Fanny James' work, and I've chosen this today from a statement that she made. It was not one of her topics, but it was shortly said after, within a sentence or two of the topic that she chose. And I said, ooh, omnipresence never leaves a soul. I like this. I like it a lot. I'm also just reflecting on our meditation. And yesterday I attended a funeral. A good friend of mine, his dad had passed away. And it was in Hoboken at the St. Francis Church. Beautiful, beautiful church. But even driving there, I drove over with a few friends, and I was just catching all these side streets of Hoboken, and just realizing all the more, just what a beautiful city Hoboken is, how well built it is, and how beautifully it's been taken care of. It can be a little rough riding around them streets and looking for a parking space, but outside of that, what a gorgeous place, and it always seems to be so. Has such an upbeat feeling to it, you know. And as we drove along, we went along the river, of which there's just this wonderful park that just extends. It seems like forever. And the person that was driving us, he used to work right in that area, and he was saying how the mayor made it very clear: you can build all your businesses, just not over here. You stay away from the waterfront, and this belongs to the people. And I was just thinking how the spirit of love at work there. And I just was really appreciating this city and this park, you know. And of course, we here in New Jersey, we get something that the Manhattaners don't get at all. Mm-hmm. We get to see Manhattan. And it's quite a vista along the waterfront. So, with that, I wanted to focus on today's Bible readings, especially Revelation, because Revelation has always been so, you know, I mean, it's not for me anymore, but back in the day, it seemed to be the one book that everybody stayed away from, unless they wanted to, like, scare you to death with the end of the world is near and you're going to go to hell, you know, unless you believe in what we believe in and the way we believe in it. And I've been taught by several people much differently, and one of them being Miriam, one of our divine science ministers, who wrote the beautiful book, the open book of Revelation. And there's others that also have expressed this in a deeper understanding, that it's all about consciousness. Everything is consciousness. It's all God consciousness. And all that we do and all that we are first has to stem from that. All that we cannot move without consciousness. We cannot have a thought without consciousness. We cannot have an emotion or a feeling without consciousness. So before anything has been made manifest into the physical world, there is first consciousness. And so when we read these scriptures, it is talking about consciousness first. And so people can get tangled up trying to understand scripture in that which has already been made manifest, the end product. And if you're going to only look at the end product, then you're going to experience great limitations. You know, I heard another something the other day, and I love it, because it reminded me of one of the lessons that I used to teach the fatherhood program over at the Hudson County Jail to the men. And one of them opened up this wonderful statement that just said, and it's in this order, respect yourself, don't disrespect yourself. Respect others, don't disrespect others. Respect the earth. Don't disrespect the earth. And it's in this order that if I cannot first respect myself, how can I respect others? And how can I begin to respect the earth if I don't respect myself first? I have to respect myself. And then I automatically will come into the fruition of respecting others and respecting the earth. You know, and Jesus even said very simply, you know, love God with all your being and all your might, and then love your neighbors, you love yourself. Same principle, said a little bit differently. So then I recently came across another statement that I just loved this. It said, Stop fixing the earth. The earth does not need to be fixed. You don't need to fix the earth. The earth will fix itself. What you need to do is love the earth. Love the earth, and the earth will heal itself. I was like, wow. Wow. You know? So, you know, stop. You know, how do we stop and become conscious of what we're doing that's not a healthy thing? Well, it begins with consciousness. And in this consciousness, it's all about love. And there's where it begins. And that's what divine teaches. That's the very first principle, the rule of thumb, before anything else. If you know, if you learn nothing else, know that God is consciousness. And there's no separation. And that consciousness is absolute love. And if one can work from that, things are going to go pretty nicely. So with all that being said, in our Psalms we have, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. See, love never fails. In Christ, all shall be made alive. This statement does not refer to time, place, or dimension, or plane. It is consciousness. In Hebrews 12:29, it states that God's presence is the purifying fire. And often we hear about the fire, we always think of hell and damnation, but the purifying fire is where we go a little bit deeper than the great flood, so to speak. And in consciousness, the fire completely cleanses all and allows us to start anew. We begin fresh. Everything has been wiped out that's ever caused any problems, hassles, stagnations, so forth and so on. And this statement that, and I've had this a couple times where I've stopped other people dead in their tracks where they talk about the idea of heaven and hell, and I said, well, God's in hell with you if you're in hell. Blah, 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 blah. And I said, look, it's right in Psalms 139. You know, if I make my bed in hell, behold, God is still there. How can that be? So we're talking about consciousness. I'm talking about what I've made manifest in my thoughts. We're not talking about this place or this another astral plane or anything like that. We're talking about what I've done with my thinking, what I've created. Have I created a heaven or have I created a hell? Or have I created a purgatory? Yeah, you know, what am I doing? They're my thoughts. They're my feelings. What am I doing with them? And why do I believe things that bring me into a negative space? But it's all okay overall because God is there regardless, and God is absolute love. So that love is with me even in my hardest, most difficult moments. That love is still there. Whether my ears are closed off to it and my eyes are shut, it still is there. See, the Christ message, after all said and done, is all about salvation. It's not about punishment. It's not about paying dues. It's about salvation. As Jesus plainly stated, I'm not here to condemn the sinner, I'm here to condemn the sin. God's loving omnipresence never leaves the soul, whether our ears are turned away from God or not. Just because I don't see it or I don't think it doesn't mean it's gone. I've just made a decision to shut myself away from it. God's loving call is eternally sounding, even though often our mind is filled with other sounds. You see, I like that. Other sounds. So now we're moving beyond words. Because after all, aren't words just sounds that we've designed into language? Because we're pretty creative. We're a pretty creative being. We've taken a bunch of noise and we've turned it into language. We have different languages all over the planet. And in all these different areas, people understand each other. But if you want to understand another area, you have to go learn those sounds. What are those sounds? And what are they saying when they make those sounds with one another? So when we have our mind filled with sounds, what kind of sounds are we filling our mind with? It is in our attentiveness to truth, which is the Christ voice of the soul, that our salvation is revealed to us. So, it's beyond sounds. Or as the title of that wonderful book, beyond words and thoughts. So first things first, it's beyond my thoughts, it's beyond my words that I begin to experience this and know this. When we take time for meditation, we go into the silence. We're moving beyond the words and thoughts into a whole other language. It doesn't even come with an alphabet. You know. So, in Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." So our thoughts develop the path that we go on. But the truth is, well, though thinking does not make us, for we already are made in God's glory. However, according to our thinking is how we will act and express ourselves. It is not in the misleading saying that I think, so therefore I am, but in truth, I am before I think, let alone speak. And often people get caught up in that. I am already a child of God. I am already created in the image and likeness of God. So that famous statement, I am, I think, so therefore I am, is a misdirected quote. As philosophical as it is, there's something going on before that. I am before I think. And I can return to that I am-ness, that one-ship. And get away from all the sounds I just made that make me realize I exist and that I'm a thinking creature, you know. Dr. Quimby said, "Stop believing in the lies and live in the truth." As we hear it more in Scripture, "Cease to believe in evil, learn to believe in good." Here we walk in the light and know the root of good deeds and experiences. And that was one of Quimby's biggest parts of his healing process. He felt that his main thing in raising consciousness was to get the patient to stop believing in the lies, to move beyond the illusion of mankind. And those sounds have a way of vibrating into our emotions, so that the words become a sound, becomes like a tuning fork to our emotions. So we can forget about the words we said, but our emotions are still reacting to the vibration of the thoughts we've had. And that's why it can take such a while to move away from that, because that language with one sound has now become a language of another sound which vibrates. You see, so it takes the work to really go in there and overcome that. And that's what Quimby would truly practice, to move beyond that vibration that I first started with some negative belief. Okay, now down to the heavier part, which I always enjoy, going into Revelation 20:10-14 and 21:8. Because it's like, what is this? You know, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Now, this begins to sound like the next sci-fi coming out from one of the DC comic books. You know, it really does. It's like, ooh, man, is Thor going to be in there? And is Captain Marvel going to be in it, I hope? You know? But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all the liars shall also have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, we come back to consciousness first. They were very poetic and very imaginative back in the day in their language. It's a known fact. That language had a very poetic nature to it. And they had a lot of imagination. And they weren't really necessarily influenced with movies and radio and all this other stuff. So they're just like looking at nature and having their personal way of expressing it, of getting to relate to one another to get the point across. So this is the first death, is of our thoughts in ignorance of truth. That's the first death, our thoughts in ignorance from truth. The second is the death of all that led us away from the truth. Again, is the purifying fire of God's love. In absolute Christ consciousness, as one with God mind, the erroneous beliefs in devil, death, and hell are utterly destroyed. Everything in God consciousness, everything is God consciousness, so we are that consciousness. Our deeds can only attest to our beliefs. We can't do anything more than that. Our deeds can only attest to our beliefs. You know, I can't be living and believing one thing and then proclaiming that I'm going somewhere else. That kind of backs up again to as he thinketh in his heart, so he is. It's the end of the story. You can put on all the masks and costumes that you want, but what I'm thinking is what I've allowed myself to follow through on. But again, it's not who I truly am. I'm a child of God. So my thinkers, will you ever hear the term stinking thinking? My stinking thinking, you know? I need to remove myself from that as best as possible. And it's not easy. It's so easy to be influenced by such negativity. I am all the time. I have to let it go all the time. You know, if you care about life and you care about the planet and you care about other people, it can get upsetting with things that you hear and see on a regular basis. But it's not that one becomes an uncaring person because we begin to remove ourselves from that. It's like, well, let me stop looking at the garbage. I know it's out there. I don't have to be reminded every day that it exists. I know it exists. And as it says, resist not evil. I need to walk in the light and not be so caught up on what I already know is going on. I know there's a big sham going on out there. I know that. I know it's corrupt. I know it in its limited way. It's very powerful. But I don't need to dive into it every day and be a part of it. You know, I need to stay in this truth. I need to walk in this loving, healing truth of absolute goodness and express from there and hold my truth from there. So in Revelation, again, we're talking about all this being deceived and all that. We're talking about consciousness, about what is pulled in. I've been pulled into what I've allowed myself to believe and make manifest with, you know. And so again, I want to just say this again, that the first death is of our thoughts and ignorance of truth. The second death is of all that led us away from it. So if I've surrendered over those beliefs, then I will not be snagged into that which has led me into that. I will begin to stay away from that. You see, that's what we're talking about. Revelation, in a nutshell, and truth, is also known as the second Genesis. It is the epilogue of the Holy Bible. And it isn't a bad ending. It's basically what it is in a nutshell is the second Genesis is I've become aware and that I've grown into the image and likeness of the Heavenly Father, Mother so much that I have left all my earthly ways, as Jesus perfectly demonstrated and lived by. People had a hard time telling if is Jesus a man or is Jesus a God? Jesus was just perfect in the expression of God idea. So it's not about a separation. Is he this or is he that? Jesus just lived as he should be. You see? No separation. But it confuses people. So a lot of people fall to their knees and grovel before the Jesus and beg to him and plead to him. And all the time he's telling us, look within yourself. It's already there. What I have is already within you. You do not need to grovel before me and beg to me. You don't even need to pray to me. You need to go within and know the Christ consciousness within yourself. That higher self, where I can continue to evolve and not be caught up in the things that Revelation, that this part of Revelation is talking about. And so it concludes with this in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. By dwelling in our weakness of doubt, fear, anger, superstitions, the separations, we remove ourselves from our unity with God, omnipresence and omnipotence. And that's the stuff that does the impossible. And yet I will remove myself from it and practice whatever. You know. So again, the omnipresence never leaves a soul. Ever. Ever. However, the walls that I can build, the way I can shut myself off from it, from sight and sound, that I can do. It doesn't mean it's gone. The good news is, if I want to stop doing that, that which has always been is already still there, has always been there and still is. I'm the one that goes away. I'm the one who disappears. Not the omnipresence or omnipresence. I mean, the omnipresence or omnipotence or the omnipotence of God. That never goes. It can't. We are in the midst of it. We are of it. It is us. As I said, I've been looking at that book by Fanny James on spiritual scriptures that she thought were some cool things to bring to church. That's what that whole book is, you know. And it makes it, it's kind of nice because you look at the topic and then she has all this scripture that's there to go with it. And she has a few ideas, but it's mostly scriptures and a paragraph, and that's it. So I'm just glad that I came across that book and I've been looking into it, and I just love what she's writing. Often I don't look at her work as much as I look at the others. You know, I just don't. I see her stuff and I go, oh, that's nice, but I could, you have Nona Brooks and everyone else, and it's so easy to just get lost in all that. And oh, Fanny James. Anyway, if you'll join me in a closing prayer, we just ask that we give ourselves, that we have within ourselves the awareness to go forth with eyes open and ears that can listen to this omnipresence, knowing that this is the absolute love already working through us, as us. We are in co-creation, but not in separation, with this perfect flow. So maybe just take the time to remove the obstacles as best as we can and allow this to flow through us. Allow God's hand to come through our heart and work with us. And so it is.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, and I'm going to close with this, actually. And it's kind of mainstream, and I like it. So I heard the story of one of these ministers, I forget who, it was on television. I flipped through the stations. There's a couple I like, and I don't dedicate my time to them, but I stop and listen. And he said, God created the Ten Commandments knowing that we'd fall short and trip all over ourselves and make a mess of it. This was done on purpose so that we would then ask God for help. Yeah. All right.